It's 2:41, and you're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL, AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2. I'm Jay Pearson for Celeste Quinn today. The Summer Studio Theater Company at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts will be beginning its 19th season of professional repertory theater in our area shortly on June the 5th. And the season runs through July the 1st, and here to talk to us about it and other things is the relatively new head of the Department of Theater at Illinois, Dr. Brant Pope. And Dr. Pope, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jay. Great to be here.
Well, you have been here about a year now.
Right? A little over a year. That's right.
A little over a year. And you're a Big Ten guy.
Came from Penn State, you know, to Illinois, stayed in the Big Ten, and but thrilled to be here. It's a it's a fabulous job. Krannert Center is an amazing place. It's a great department. Great to be here.
Well, and you've also been up in the Minnesota area.
Grew up in Minnesota. Yeah, if you listen to Prairie Home Companion, you have my life. Garrison Keillor said the reasons the Norwegians moved to Minnesota is because it was the only climate in the world worse than Norway.
And you've spent your career in both, I guess you'd say, the public sector and the private sector as it goes in theater.
I think that the way that they train actors and other theater artists is very similar to the way they train doctors, in that they train them in conjunction with a professional theater. So just like doctors train in conjunction with a teaching hospital, mm-hmm. Theater artists are trained in conjunction with a professional theater. Lawyers mm-hmm. are the same way, where they're very adjacent to the profession. Mm-hmm. So in my life, I've combined being a professional actor and director with training actors primarily for the professional theater, and Illinois has that same model that's been developed that really makes for the best way to train a young artist.
Great. In a little bit, I'd like to talk about some of your ideas, some of the things that you've observed, some of the things that you have already accomplished while here in a year, and some of the things on your agenda. But we need to talk about the Summer Studio Theater Company first, because that's what we promised. And there are three plays coming up. You're the artistic director, and I notice you're also the director of one of the works that's going to be performed too. And these are done, and we'll talk about each one individually here. But these are done in an interesting kind of schedule. They start June 5th. With the one that you're directing, right? Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah, I'm not directing Tuesdays with Maury, but that is the first one. Tuesdays with Maury opens first, then Mystery of Irma Vep, and I'm doing the third one.
Oh, you're doing the third one. That's right. Right. Yeah, I am my own wife. Right. That's the one you're directing. Okay,
that's
sorry about that. But what we do is we have on a Friday the 5th, Tuesdays with Maury, and then Saturday the 6th, and on Sunday the 7th, the Mysteries of Irma Vep. And then we come with Tuesdays with Maury on Tuesday,
right?
And then they rotate. What's the idea behind that? First of all,
well, a rotating repertory theater is a particularly good way of organizing things in the summer and in some destination theaters. A lot of the Shakespeare festivals and the theater where I worked for many years in Sarasota, Florida, the Oslo Theater, was organized that way. It allows people to see two or three productions in a very short period of time. Oh. So if they don't happen to live in Champaign-Urbana, mm-hmm. they're coming down from Bloomington mm-hmm. or from Chicago area, they can see, and if they stayed overnight, they could see two and perhaps three productions. It's organized in that way. It also takes advantage of the fact that when you're in rotating repertory, actors can be in more than one play at a time. So because this is professional theater mm-hmm. and we have professional actors this summer, it gets the most use out of them, actually. You know, we can put them in two plays.
Absolutely. And I would suppose with vacation schedules, you know, the odds are that sometimes you might be on a vacation, you might totally miss a couple of performances that are done on a particular weekend.
That's right. And so if you had a long straight run, as you do during the year, you might miss, you know, a substantial part of it.
Well, let's talk about the one, first of all, that you are going to be directing, I Am My Own Wife.
Yeah, that is the most provocative, the most serious of the three. Pulitzer Prize-winning play. It is the true story of a German man who actually was a transvestite and somehow managed to survive both the Nazis and the East German communist regime. And it's the story. It's really a story of amazing story of survival and of of the transvestitism. It's the play is not about that. That's a metaphor for what the play is about. Mm-hmm. It really is the way in which to really try to get the bottom of this person, this true historical story. It's fascinating. And this one actor, Henson Keyes, who's one of America's very best actors, who is our head of acting, he plays all 35 characters in this play.
Seriously.
And it is a bravura performance. It is a part of the Pulitzer Prize was the sheer brilliance of the actors that can pull this off. It's an astonishing play and quite an amazing event. True story.
And this was written by Doug Wright.
Doug Wright, yes. Yeah. It's they just wanted to find out how this incredibly unusual person made it through these two periods. By all means, how possibly could he, she have survived? Yeah. You know, and it's also a story about betrayal, about how this person made it through. Because it's true, it's a very captivating story.
That should be great. And this is a fairly contemporary work, debuting in 2003.
Yeah, that's so right. Won the Pulitzer Prize that next year.
Next year.
That's right. Wow. Okay. And it's a good contrast with the other two productions, one is an hysterically funny and one is very, very current and very popular because of a famous book and Mitch album. Speaking of Detroit, where you were born, you know, you have quite a captivating story there with a best-selling book.
Let's talk about Tuesdays with Maury.
Yeah, Tuesdays with Maury is most people, I think, are familiar with that book because it was a national bestseller, mm-hmm. and you know, Barnes & Noble featured it for many months. And it's a very successful sports writer, Mitch Albom, who comes back to develop a relationship with an old professor of his that recognized his brilliance, recognized the heart that he had, and reached out to Mitch as a famous sports writer. And it's the story of their relationship. So someone would ask, well, okay, if it's a book, it's already a best-selling book, why would you want to make a play about it? And the answer is because the book, of course, written by Mitch Albom, focuses a lot on this professor, Maury, and the wisdom that he transmits and his great and wonderful personality, his depth. But because Mitch wrote it, it doesn't tell us much about Mitch Albom. But what the play does is the play can explore both of these characters. So you learn, and really, Mitch Albom is who the play is about, because it's his growth, it's his insight, he's the one who changed because of the relationship with Maury.
Gotcha. Great. And then The Mystery of Irma Vep.
The Mystery of Irma Vep is one of the funniest plays that I've ever seen in my life. I had a chance to direct it before in Pennsylvania, and if you think of Monty Python, the spoof on a number of things, this is a spoof on those Gothic melodramas, mm-hmm. the Dracula-esque kind of between the war, you know, the dark English state of Mandrake and Lord Edgar and Lady Enid and the mystery of the former wife Irma Vep and vampires. So it's not only is it a hysterical takeoff on that, but two actors. Again, the same formula. Two actors play about 10 roles each. They play men. They play women. They go on. They go off as a woman. Come on 10 seconds later as a man. So that they have 100 different costume changes. There has to be a whole crew backstage. It is astonishing that two actors can actually make these changes. And part of the fun of this is that you simply cannot believe that the person who just exited as Lord Edgar comes back, you know, as Jane. The maid, 10 seconds. How possibly could they have done that? And it's so funny. They go to Egypt in Act Two, and they're in the tombs with a sarcophagus, and it is one of the funniest and most enjoyable, most amazing. Again, only professional actors could really pull this off.
Sounds like a great challenge even for them, and a lot of Velcro probably.
Yeah. If somebody said, which of these three plays, if I took one person to and say they weren't a real theater buff and they wanted to go one of the three, probably Irma Vep would have the widest appeal. It is so funny that almost everybody would instantly love it.
That'd be great. And Irma Vep, by the way, is an anagram of vampire.
Vampire, that's right.
If you're wondering where the name Irma Vep came from.
That's right.
So these begin on Friday the 5th and run through the 1st of July. And the weeknight performances, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, And Saturday nights are all at 7:30, and then there are some 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon performances too. So, you know, the time ought to be great. The best way, I think, always to find out what's happening at Krannert Center, if you don't get a mailing, if you're one of the five people in this listening area
that
don't get a mailing from Krannert Center at some time or other, is to go to the website. It's a great website, kcpa.uiuc.edu or illinois.edu now,
right.
It all gets you to the same place. But they have a wonderful website. And, in fact, right on the front, on the home page, you'll see the Summer Studio Theater link there. You can always just call or you can go to krannertcenter.com. You got a million ways to find it. You would really have to work to not be able to get a hold of Krannert Center. But 800-KCPA-TIX or 527-2849, or just stop by Krannert Center on South Goodwin. We're at 300 North. They're at 500 South, about 8 blocks away from WILL. And if you can make it to Urbana and see our antenna tower outside our building, find Goodwin.
Right.
And then just drive south and you'll see Krannert. And they're open 10 to 6 daily in the ticket office. But million ways to get a hold of Krannert. The bottom line is, you know, we always talk about what a resource Krannert is for Champaign-Urbana, but it's for the whole region. And you were talking about Bloomington Normal and talking about people in Danville and people who live down in the Charleston area and even to the north up to Kankakee and maybe even over in Peoria to come and see repertory theater of this caliber. Why don't you talk for a few moments about that? You mentioned, you know, these are professional actors who come in and are doing this, but talk about the caliber of this this 19 years running now of this this particular series.
Yeah, I think you know that in a fairly small community, Champaign-Urbana, we're sort of the Green Bay Packers of theater, and that we're so blessed that a small place would have such a major facility as the Krannert is, and that during the year, our productions at Krannert are feature the work of the actors and the designers and technicians in training, so they are a vehicle for their work. In the summer, we shift to professional theater, and for Champaign-Urbana to have its own professional theater is really quite something. We have one artist, Gary Ambler, who is a local actor and an excellent one who's part of the company, and then we have several professional actors as part of this summer, so that it gives people the opportunity to these are the same quality professional actors that you would get in Chicago or Minneapolis or Seattle or any other major urban center, and that really what professional theater means is that we're able to do things like Irma Vep, which we wouldn't do during the year because it doesn't serve training particularly well, and it really stresses the age of the actors who are in their 20s and 30s. So this is a chance to go see professional theater with the quality and the ages that you would expect to see in any major regional area. That's quite a gift for a community our size.
A lot of people who locate here are from the Chicago area. Would you say it's fair to say it's like having our own Steppenwolf?
I probably would say that.
Or you aspire to that.
I would say that, and maybe I would say as close as we can get to our own Steppenwolf. You can say it then, Jay.
That's great. And this is the Summer Studio Theater at Krannert. And we're talking today with Brant Pope, who has been here for a year now as the head of the theater department. And what brought you to University of Illinois when you were looking, you know, were you, I don't know if you were recruited, I don't know how the process went, but you ended up here. Somehow it looked appealing to you to come here.
Professional training programs of a high caliber, everyone really knows in any business, you know each other quite well. I was president of a national organization of training programs, and Illinois and Penn State and a number of other top programs have similar ambitions. It's like the Big Ten Conference, that there are ambitions for excellence in the programs, and sometimes you develop a certain reputation for what you do with the program, as does a top football coach, say, and then you come to a program and they yearn to go in a certain direction consistent with your background. So what brought me to Illinois is that Illinois has Krannert is unique. the resources of Krannert are unique. It's a tremendous draw for the recruiting of excellence in training. And what we yearn to do is to establish stronger ties in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. So my experience has been in connecting university-based training programs with the professional theater. And so part of my ambition is to extend our reach into Chicago, to be more of a major player in the Chicago area, so that we bring our great work to Chicago, establish a space there, begin to, you know, this is our region. Chicago ought to be the natural manifestation of our work, and I think that's where we're heading. So we're broadening the impact nationally of what we do.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be your main focus. Would it be fair to say?
I would say that's the main focus and the natural extension of the quality of our training programs. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Good. Anything in the, we have 1 minute to go, and I know it's terrible to ask a question, but anything here on campus that you would like to accomplish in the next year as well?
Yeah, I think that. One of the things that I think every area in the campus, every department, every college is really emphasizing is these days the old traditional model where students major in a certain thing and they're very narrowly trained is sort of melting away. That the students now, because of technology and other things, they're in the connections between colleges, between units, between, so that when we do plays, for example, we're going to do a play, for example, about the refugees in Bosnia, for mm-hmm. example, so that we incorporate history and we incorporate ethnic studies, and we reach out that various interdisciplinary ways that the university really you connect beyond the Krannert Center.